by someone who is important to you, right? And it's a gift that meets a really important need. And of course, the best example of that we can talk about this morning is Jesus Christ. Is that not? He meets all those needs. He meets all those requirements. If you would, let's stand this morning if you're there. We're going to read from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 15th verse. And it says this: thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Isn't that awesome? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know what? Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, we come thanking You, Father, for this the opportunity to stand here before You this morning, thanking You, Lord, for Your mercy and grace, Lord, and thanking You, Father, for this season, Lord. We ask You, Lord, now to be with each and every heart that's here. And Lord, we ask You to open up the hearts and minds of those that are gathered here this morning. And Father, I pray, Lord, that the message would go out and the way that You'd want it. Anoint my lips, Lord, and open the hearts again, I ask. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen, and amen. You know, the Bible says the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of God, what's it do? It'll stand forever. You know, whenever it's talking about thank God for the unspeakable gift, you know, the word unspeakable means it's indescribable. You know, that's what it means. It means that thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. Paul was saying it was too overwhelming for the human language to describe what Jesus means to this human race. I mean, I could stand up here and try to preach to you all morning. I could stand up here and try to tell you of what Jesus Christ should mean to each and every one of us. But I'm here to tell you, I cannot describe it in my own words. I've been preaching for a number of years, and I'm telling you, I can't. If Paul couldn't describe it, how do you expect for me to describe it? Listen, there is no words that he could use to describe the gift that he was talking about. Have you ever tried to explain to somebody about something, yet you couldn't come up with the right words? Anybody ever done that? I've done that. I've tried to explain something to someone and could not come up with the right words. Now try to imagine coming up with the right words to describe Jesus Christ. Just try to imagine. Our text today is about that kind of subject. Listen. Some may claim that God's gift is the gospel of salvation, or, you know, the gospel of salvation, or the gift of the gospel, or of salvation. Some may claim that. But in the root of that, both the gospel message and the salvation message deals in one thing and one thing only, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it deals with. If He had not come, if He had not, for the first Christmas, if He would not have been here, there would have been no gospel message, there would have been no salvation. Now let that just sink in for a little bit. Me and you are sitting here this morning, or at least I hope you're sitting here this morning, and know that you have a hope. You have something that goes beyond all the, you have a hope that reaches far and above anything that we could even imagine. Now, how would you feel? I heard Tim say this, and I kind of jotted this down, Tim, whenever you said this. You said you already had Christmas at Patty's already, right? Did you turn down any gifts that were given to you? No. How many of you in here have turned down your gift that has been given to you on Christmas and wouldn't open it? I don't see any hands. How would you feel if you did that? Well, let's think about how God feels. For God so loved the world, guess what He did? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, He was knowing full well that the majority of mankind was going to reject that gift. They weren't even going to open it. Listen, knowing full well that they would do that, I don't know your hearts here this morning. I don't know where you stand with Jesus. But can I tell you, God is giving you a gift. The gift of Jesus that is free to you. And what He wants you to do is to open that gift and accept Him into your heart. Isaiah said this about that gift. It said this in Isaiah. He is despised, is what it said. and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now, I want to tell you something right here this morning. If you reject the gospel message of Jesus Christ, if you reject the message of reconciliation, listen, you're despising Jesus. You're despising him, whether you want to admit it or not. Listen, the truth that Jesus was fully God and fully man is an unspeakable truth. Paul had mentioned a little bit about it here this morning in his teaching. Listen, can you fully comprehend that he come down here and he was fully God? And when he come here, he was born as he was fully man like you and me. We cannot fully explain how God could become a man. Yet the Bible says that he did. If you look at Philippians 2, 5 and 7, it's 5 through 7. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, a man, and was made in the likeness of men. God became man for you and me. Try to explain that to somebody. Try to explain. Now, would we all agree the more the importance of the gift, the more preparation it requires? Listen, I thought about this as I was trying to think down through my mind, down through the years, of gifts that I have bought, maybe for Tink or for the family, and thought about the preparation that went into it. Now, I'm telling you, right there's one woman that you cannot, you correct me, Stephanie, if I'm wrong, you cannot get nothing by on that woman right there. I did one year, though. I did one year, and it took a lot of preparation. It took a lot of work, and it took a lot of hiding from her what I was doing. But I did get it through one year. It takes a lot of preparation. You know what preparation is? The process of getting ready for something involving an action. You see, God had prepared this gift for me and you from the foundations of the world. This gift was not something that just took place overnight. And you guys say, oh, well, no, it took place from the foundations of the world. Peter tells us, he says, you see, Peter tells us these things, three things about Jesus Christ when it comes to preparation and the time the gift would be. And 1 Peter 1:20 tells us, Jesus was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and me. From the beginning, Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world to be the Savior for you, to be that gift. Now, I want you to understand and try to comprehend that a little bit when we're talking about the unspeakable gift. Before the foundations of this world, God knew that this dirty, rotten sinner right here, I'll call myself that. That's what I was. And I don't care how good you think you are here this morning. You were a dirty, rotten sinner as well. And you may still be one here this morning. I do not know. But Jesus, God had planned for you and me to come to know him as his personal Savior. Jesus was chosen, and the gift of Christ was sent just at the right time. Do you know that? But was manifest in these last days. These last days, why then? For the first time since the Tower of Babel, the majority of the known world spoke one language whenever Jesus came into this world. That was Greek. Most of the New Testament was spoken in what? In Greek, and written in Greek. That it was the main language. And it's facilitated the spreading of the gospel. That's why Jesus came. That was one of the points why he came at that time. Listen. Long before the New Testament was written, long before, and they wrote that all that Septuagint was written in Greek so they could understand the prophecies. Paul had mentioned here this morning how that they couldn't understand. Listen, there was 150 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus Christ. And you know what? They didn't understand. They couldn't. They didn't want to understand. They didn't want to open that gift. They didn't want to open it. There was peace in Rome at that time. There was a 200-year peace that allowed for the gospel to be spread without borders, that allowed it to be spread throughout the known world without borders, without wars, that the gospel could be spread to all the world. And did you know this? There was a vast road system that was built. God knew what he was doing. The Roman Empire might have thought they were the greatest thing in the world, but God allowed it to be. And you know why? Because I believe God allowed Jesus to be born at that time so that the gospel could be spread to all the known world. And you should be standing and praising God because it made it to us one day. Amen? Amen. And even though he didn't know it, the Roman Empire, Augusta, when he put out that all the world should be taxed, he is fulfilling the prophecy that was written back over in Micah when it said, "O Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is unto the rulers of Israel, whose going and forth have been from the old and from everlasting." The time was right. When they put out that to be taxed, that Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem, where Jesus had to be born according to prophecy. Everything was right according to the time. The birth of Jesus wasn't happenstance. But when the fullness of time was come, God did what? He sent forth his son. Amen. The time was right. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. Praise his holy name this morning, you and I. Brother said, we are part of the family. We're part of it. It was actually, listen, another unspeakable gift was the preparation was also, it was missed because the message was so simple. The gospel message is a simple message. It's very simple. In Luke 2, 6 and 7, it says, "And so it was that while they were there and the days would be accomplished, that she should be delivered, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn." You know the main reason why most people miss God's gift is because of the way it was wrapped. Tink can wrap gifts good. Dave wraps them to get them covered. Amen. Get the job done, but... That's just a, I guess that's a man thing. I don't know. Maybe some men in here are good at wrapping gifts. I'm not. But she can wrap them. But you know what? A lot of people turn down the message because of the wrapping it's delivered in. The Jews believed the greatest need that was to be liberated from the Romans. But when they really needed was to be liberated from their sin. They were looking for a political deliverer, not realizing that the deliverer that was sent was one who was to deliver them from their sins. Amen? They expected the Messiah to come dressed like a king, not wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. They expected a king. Unless we judge too harshly, may I say to us all here this morning, if you talk to people and you would ask them what is the greatest need, what is the greatest gift God could give them, I guarantee you would hear different things, monetary. They'd probably hear, "Well, I need more money in a bank account. I need healing for my body and for someone I love's body. I need reconciliation in a relationship that is going bad." And they would cap those statements off by saying, "Those are my greatest needs right there. Those are my greatest needs." And can I say, let's all face it. They're legitimate needs. Let's face those. Those are. But our greatest need is not all those. Can I have an amen? Our greatest need is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because one of these days, we will stand before a just and a righteous God. We will stand before Him. And can I tell you, all have sinned. When it says all, it means all. I was born into sin. You were born into sin. And God knew that we needed the gift of salvation one day. And I praise Him for that. Listen, in Psalms 51, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." All have sinned. Why did the announcement of Christ's birth come to the people? It did. It didn't come to the religious leaders of the time. It didn't come to the great political leaders. It didn't come to the wealthy. My Bible tells me it came to the shepherds first. And listen, it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. We all probably know that they were at the bottom of the economical social ladder at the time. They were the ones that lived on the other side of the tracks, is what we would say nowadays. They were the bottom rung. They were the outcast of society. That's why they were the first to hear about this indescribable, unspeakable gift. They were the first ones. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The angels brought the good news, the Savior for all people. They brought that news to those shepherds. For God, like I said, God so loved the world. What a gift. What an indescribable, unspeakable gift that God did for you and me. What did the shepherds do? They immediately, the Bible says, they immediately went to see Jesus. That's exactly what they did. If you read it, they immediately dropped everything and went to see the Savior, went to see Jesus. They couldn't get to Bethlehem fast enough. Now compare that to the religious leaders at the time. If you look in Matthew 2, when Herod had heard that the wise men were saying and about the star that had been following and the king of the Jews had been born, what did Herod do in Matthew? He said this, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And when they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. After the chief priests had heard this news, what did they do? They stayed right where they were at. Don't you think that the religious leaders, hearing what they heard, would have at least had a little bit of curiosity and wanted to go see what was going on? But they didn't. They didn't. They stayed put. They didn't go nowhere. And they heard the same message that those shepherds heard. They had heard it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, listen to me. We hear that message this morning, do we not? That Jesus Christ has come and that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. They stayed right where they were. They didn't understand that they needed a Savior just as much as the shepherds needed a Savior. Now, I don't know where you're at here this morning. Again, I keep saying that because I don't know nobody's heart. You know, I have went to church with people, and I know you think this is crazy, all my life, that got down to the end of their lives that would tell me that they did not know Jesus as their Savior. Now let that sink in for a little bit. Brother said, they need a Savior just as much as the young people need a Savior. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how, you need a Savior just as much as the younger people need a Savior. These religious leaders needed a Savior just as much as those shepherds needed a Savior. They didn't understand that they needed a Savior. I'm guessing that across this nation today, just like we did today, there will be Christmas messages preached from pulpits all across this nation today. There will be programs put on all across this nation today. And you know what? And a lot of folks hearing these messages, you may be sitting back here thinking this morning as well. I don't know. You're thinking, man, I have heard this story year after year after year. And your eyes may be glassed over. You may be thinking, man, I've heard this so many times. I you know what? But can I tell you something? Don't ever let the message of the gift ever get away from your sight. Don't let it. I don't care if you have to listen to it every Christmas, if you have to watch Charlie Brown and listen to Linus tell Charlie Brown the exact story of what Christmas is truly about. I'm telling you, don't ever let that come from you. Don't ever let that slip from your grasp. That God sent an unspeakable gift into this world that can't be explained, but praise God, that gift is here for you and me. The Bible tells us all have sinned, all have fallen short We all deserve punishment, not only in this life, but in eternity. Romans 6:23 simply tells us this: for the wages of sin is death. That's simply. Listen, I'm not going to try to stand up here and scare you, but I'm going to tell you that if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are looking at not only physical death, but a spiritual death for eternity. Let that sink in for a little bit. But it goes on to say, but what we got instead was a gift. And it said, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isn't that great news? I mean, I don't know about you, but isn't that great news this morning? That even though we deserve death, even though we deserve to spend eternity in hell, God made a way. You know, in my little mind, what I think sometimes, back whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you know what we would have done as men and mankind? I don't think we would have been that forgiving, probably. Why didn't God just wipe the slate clean? Say, I'm going to start over again. I'm going to find somebody that won't do that. He didn't do that. You know what he did? He decided, I'm going to give you an unspeakable gift. An unspeakable gift. A gift that you can't hardly explain. But I'm telling you, I love you enough that you know what? No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been in this life, he loves you. He does love you. He does love you. And he's offered that gift. And he said all you have to do is come and accept it. Isn't that something? That we serve a God that is like that. If we confess our sins, my Bible tells me he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I got on my knees in that breezeway at that little Baptist church in Mannington, West Virginia, been almost 40-some, almost 50 years ago now, when I got on my knees, he cleansed this old boy from all unrighteousness. He cleansed me. When I got up out of there, I'm going to tell you, I know I was saved. There was no doubt. I didn't have to go ask Mom. I didn't have to go ask Grandma. I didn't even have to ask the preacher. I knew that I was saved. And brothers and sisters, as Haver Gribber used to say, I felt like I could whip a sack of wildcats. That's what it did. That's the indescribable gift does. A simple message that was delivered to simple message to people 2,000 years ago still rings true today. Lastly, why did Paul say the gift was unspeakable? Because of the love that was put into it. Can you and I truly understand the love that God has for us? Can you? I mean, just think about it. Mary, I have fallen on my face more than once since I've become a Christian. I've fallen flat on my face as far as a Christian goes. And you know what? God has convicted me. I've got on my knees and I said, God, forgive me and help me to do better. And you know what? He didn't cast me aside. He didn't throw me in the gutter and say, you're not worth it, Dave. Can I tell you something this morning? You're worth it. As a child of God, you are worth it to him. If you wasn't worth it, he wouldn't have took the time to send his only begotten son to this and to shed his blood. I love the song where it talks about, you know, the beginning of the story is great, but it's the ending that saves you. It's the ending that will save you. Because of the love of God. God so loved the world. His love is truly indescribable. His love is truly indescribable. I cannot. In 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what? The sons of God. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you while you were at your lowest ebb in life, where you didn't even know God, where God didn't even know you, listen to me, Christ died for you. Do you understand that? To truly understand the gift of Jesus Christ, we all have to do is to look at the Word of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't just cast them away. And Genesis 6 tells us, when man becomes so wicked, he said it repented him that he had made man. Don't you think that us, we would have said, oh man, I'm not dealing with that no more. God didn't do that. It says Noah found grace in the sight of God. And can I tell you something? If you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, there is grace for you this morning as well. There is grace for you. Noah found grace, and you can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. If they come and get a song, Belinda, please. As we open up our gifts this week, or whenever you open them up, can I tell you something? Think about the unspeakable gift as you do that. Think about the gift that's indescribable and what God did for each and every one of us. Man, what an awesome God we serve. Is that not? All right. If you would, please stand.